next day and the next day. But I want to see the Lord move in the hearts and lives of His people. One thing that I saw this morning, I watched a television broadcast of a huge church in Lakeland that has double services, multiple services, and thousands of people. And it was a wonderful service. And what made it so wonderful for me as a minister is that the pastor who preached one message in the morning service and one in the early morning service, one in the next morning service, the Holy Ghost came upon him. He spoke in other tongues on television. And he started preaching about repentance and getting rid of any sin that stood between you and God so He could really bless you. You know, he's teaching on blessings, and suddenly it changes from just faith to receive blessings to really getting right with God. And I haven't heard get right with God in a long time, particularly through a lot of media ministry. And it was refreshing to hear someone that said the Holy Ghost, he said, I can't help it, the Holy Ghost is here, my message is different. Well, it's going to be different when the Holy Ghost addresses that audience in that time, in that place, because God has God wants to speak to us in a way that is personal, and in a way that it can bless us and help us, and that's what I want to happen tonight. I want to hear from the Lord in my heart and in my life. Praise God. Amen. So it was refreshing. But I listened to the message. I looked at the audience and the response from our small audience this morning. Oh, the freedom we had and the joy and the victory in Jesus that was represented was greater than in that huge gathering of people. And I was just happy to be here today in a small setting where there was freedom and liberty and victory in Jesus and people responding so wonderfully to the Word of God this morning and to the presence of God. Hallelujah. I scratch my head sometimes and wonder why that this place just isn't expanding and exploding, because honestly, nothing happened in that service with several thousand than happened here. Absolutely nothing. We should never hang our head when we drive off of this property as if we came to a little church that had some less than a God-anointed service, because God shows up here. Amen. And He does it not because we're a great number or anything like that, but He does it because He loves us. Amen. And where two or more gathered in His name, He said, there am I in the midst of them. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to some scripture tonight as I'm still pondering which exact route to go. I want to go to Psalm 106. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 106 and one particular verse, and that is verse 47. Psalm 106 and verse 47. And it kind of coincides with the book of Ephesians, where it's talking about being not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but being filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on to tell you what Spirit-filled really means when it happens in your life, because a Spirit-filled Christian doesn't just talk in other tongues. A Spirit-filled Christian speaks to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, always making melody in their heart to the Lord. The context of being filled with the Spirit goes on to talking about praising God and loving God and having a relationship with God that is authentic and genuine and personal. And it's an incredible verse of Scripture when it tells us that we are to have this melody in our heart to the Lord. God wants you to be consistent in your praise to Him. It's vital that we learn to praise Him more than just on Sunday morning. And more than just at a particular time at a gospel event or something like that, but in our daily personal life. If you want victory over the enemy, and if you want your faith to be built up, as it says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, you can't just go to the Bible study and let it end there. You can't just pray and let it stop there. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sat there and used their faith and believed and read Scripture and prayed some more and waited for the answer. No, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. Say it with me. And sang praises to God. And sang praise. And when did the victory come? When did the victory come? While he was praying, or while he was sealing his faith with praise and worship. came while they were sealing their faith. He was held over to be, or Peter rather, he was held over to be killed the next day. Peter the angel delivered Peter. Paul and Silas were thrown in a Roman jail, but they didn't worry who would go their bail. Amen. But on the prayer bells they began to ring, all fell their stocks, and they began to sing, no. Amen. They sang before the stocks fell off. Amen. It is so easy to sing victory songs after the fact. Where faith comes in is to sing the victory song before the fact, because you believe that God is a man of His word. Hallelujah. Amen. And God requires, it's amazing to me that when they took these people down into Babylonian captivity, they were so broken that an enemy had overcome them. They absolutely had no song of praise for God. They felt God forsaken, and they took their harps, their instruments, and they hung them on the limbs of the willow trees. They said, we don't need instruments to praise God with anymore in our present human condition. And the first thing their captors asked of them when they got them into Babylon was this: we would hear a song of thee. Sing us a song like you sing to your God that you're so famous for. Because we have heard of the way that you worship your God. And it is absolutely something that is so, you have such notoriety because of the way you worship your God. The exuberance, the enthusiasm, the joy that you worship Him with. Amen? We would hear a song of thee. Isn't that incredible that their captors had heard of their worship? And said, we want to hear it because you're famous for it. And it must be something wonderful. One writer, a historical writer of the time, said, you've never seen joy until you've been to one of their feasts unto their God. You've never seen joy. Trumpets were blown. People shouted shouts of joy. They sang songs. They sang the songs of Zion. Can you say amen? The Bible said, blessed, happy to be envied are the people who know the joyful sound. Can you say amen? When did that joyful sound come out of Israel? Amen. When their God was with them. Amen. I love the story of Jehoshaphat. We were going to read that, but I don't have time to just go into every detail tonight. I'm just going to preach a little bit. But in Jehoshaphat's situation, when did victory come? When did victory come? What were they doing when the victory came? When all of these enemies came out and overwhelmed them in number, what was going on when the victory came? First they prayed, Lord, we have no might or no power to fight against. What are we going to do? And then they sent out the singers. Can you say, man, God said, the battle is mine now. You prayed, so the battle is mine now. You've made me the source. The battle is mine now. So I want you to get the singers. What singers? Those that perform for record companies for profit? No, the people that go into the temple and give their songs unto the Lord as part of the worship of God. Get those worshipers that know how to worship the true and living God. Hallelujah. I am not into hired singers, even if they sing gospel. It does not impress me. But let the worshipers arise, and I will join their ranks. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, when an army is standing out there, an allied army of three different groups have come together to destroy Israel, and you're hopelessly outnumbered, you don't need some hireling. You need someone that knows God and knows how to worship God. And said, tell the singers to go out and stand before these vast armies and begin to sing what? The high praises of God. Can you say amen? And they begin to sing, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And it was a revelation of God's character and His covenant love for His people. Can you say amen? Everybody say His character and His covenant love for His people. Boy, that's two things you need to know in the day of battle. God's character and His covenant love. I said His covenant love for His people. Amen. You'll never be perfect enough to have His heart unless you have it by covenant. Amen. Nobody deserves the kind of love that God is lavishing on you tonight. But He struck a covenant with Abraham, and in that covenant, He said He's going to love these people. He said, I didn't love you because you were greater than any people and bless you and love you because you were greater than other people, but because I made a covenant with Abraham. Can you say amen? In fact, He said, not only are you not big in number, He said, not only that, but you're stiff-necked. You're stubborn. Can you say amen? Now, let me tell you this before you get too hard on them. Everybody in here that has a battle with the flesh is going to find out something about your flesh. It's stubborn. Can you say amen? Just tell it sometime that you're going to fast for 3 days and see what it tells you. Can you say amen? You tell it, I'm going to fast, and it tells you, I don't think so. And then your head starts throbbing when you don't get that Hershey bar and that cup of coffee going through caffeine withdrawal. Amen. But then, if that's not bad enough, tell it to forgive an enemy. You're not going to think these thoughts. This fleshly mind is not going to control me. The Holy Spirit is going to win today. Amen. Paul said, I buffet my body. I bring it under subjection. I don't fight as one that beateth the air. That's shadow boxing. He said, I know where my real opponent is, and I know how to defeat that opponent. And amazingly, it wasn't initially the devil. It was initially his own flesh. Because Satan's power, amen, Satan is powerless if we bring our body under subjection. Because every man is tempted when he's led away of what? His own lust and entice. Lust, when it's conceived, brings sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings death. So Paul said, I don't fight as one that beateth the air. I'm going to whip this habit. No, you're not. You got to whip your flesh, and then you can deal with the habit. Thank you for the hearty amen. Amen? He said, I buffet my body, and I bring it into subjection. I buffet it. I really believe that included fasting. I honestly do. Fasting doesn't impress God with your sacrifice. Amen? It helps you. It helps me to overcome fleshly thoughts and fleshly temptations. It puts your spiritual man in control. You say, you're going to do what I tell you for a change instead of me just going along with you. If you go along with your flesh, you're going to hate your enemies. You're not going to love them. You're going to do bad to them that spite you and seek vengeance. And vengeance is the Lord's. It's not yours and it's not mine. Can you say amen? The Bible said to pray for them do good to them that despise. Pray for your enemies. Are you kidding me? And do good. Everybody say, do good to them that what? Despitefully use you. Try it on for size sometime. Can you say amen? You better buffet your body, because if you don't bring it into subjection, it's stubbornly going to rebel against all of that. Amen? I have a natural aversion to doing good to people that are doing evil to me. It's not, it just, you know, what's wrong with this picture? Because they don't deserve good. No, and I don't deserve grace either. But I got it. Freely you've received, freely give. I got to give it like I got it. I don't deserve His mercy, but I have it. Amen. But let me tell you again, you need to know about His character of holiness and faithfulness, and you need to know about His covenant love. Say it with me, covenant love. Because God wants you to praise Him no matter what happens. So that's what Psalm 106:47 is addressing. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto your holy name and to triumph in your praise. Can you say amen? To triumph in your praise. That was a shout of praise when the walls fell down at Jericho. When He told them to shout, it was to do this thing right here. It was to use this very terminology. This is what He was telling them to do. Give a praise that just pierces the heavens in the form of a shout. Amen? The word triumph here is the word ruah, or the word praise. Ruah. Everybody say ruah. And it's from a root word in the Hebrew that means to mar by breaking. Have you ever seen one of these Memrex commercials where, and I've heard that this could actually happen, that a soprano can hit that high C, or whatever it is. He could tell me what it is if he was here. He's not. We'll ask him when he gets back. But they hit a high C. A soprano hits a high C, and someone's holding a crystal glass, a thin crystal glass, and the sound, the reverberations of that sound actually shatters the glass. Amen. You're getting it. Something about ruah. It is powerful, but it's not because of the high C that you're hitting. What's being shattered is the darkness, the kingdom of darkness. Amen. The devil's strongholds are shaken by true praise. It means also to figuratively to split the ear with sound. Everybody say, split the ear with sound. One of the things that used to happen was when we would really get boisterous in praise, we used to see people come in, didn't know we were Pentecostal. They'd come in on the worship service. We'd get kind of loud. You know, we tend to get loud sometimes in our praise. And when we got loud in praise, they'd figure it out. This is not the Church of God I was thinking of. See, there's a Church of God called First Church of God out of Anderson, Indiana, that are very evangelistic, evangelical, but they're not Pentecostal, and they're not used to that kind of thing. So when we're at the Holy Church of God, it used to be a First Church of God. Before it was that we made our payments to the First Church of God until we paid that completely out. Praise God. And we left there debt-free. By the way, we came here, and now we're debt-free here, have been, as far as we're not debt-free for air conditioning and all the other stuff, but for the there's nothing against the property of the building. God has set us up in a beautiful setting here for a breakthrough one of these days. And we're just hanging in here waiting for that. But in the meantime, we're going to enjoy the Lord, and we're going to enjoy each other and enjoy what we do have. Don't look at the empty seats. Look at the people who are here and say, look what God is doing in this little church. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Triumph in His praise like we're doing. But I would see a whole row of people come in the back of the church. I was so glad to see visitors on Sunday morning. Fill up a whole back pew until we got rowdy. And when we got a little bit rowdy in praise, I watched that whole group. And they were sweet about it. They just kind of, you know, I was looking at them and see if they was going to get involved with us. And I'd look at the husband, look at the wife, and the kids would look at them. And the aunt would look over there, and the husband would say, and that meant, okay. And they'd get up, and here they go. Right on out the door and down the steps. Hallelujah. But I don't apologize for that, because that's ruah. That's what this is talking about. They didn't suppress this in the name of some kind of protocol or religious dignity. They didn't suppress praise. Praise was absolutely spontaneously offered to God out of a glad heart. And all of the emotion that goes with it was in that. You ever watch, I used to watch Let's Make a Deal. Did you ever watch The Price is Right? That's even more, Price is Right. They got a Maytag washer and dryer sitting there. And you can bid on that Maytag washer and dryer. Brand new washer and dryer. And some lady in the audience says, sister, oh, they don't say sister, they say, Mrs. Hoopendicker, come on down. And what does she do? And it's perfectly in order. Amen. She comes a running down there. And then they say, oh, and by the way, to go along with this washer and dryer, here's this brand new SUV back. Woo! She kisses him. She don't even know him. They get on to us for being brothers and sisters in the Lord if we ever greet with a holy kiss. And she jumps straight up and down. And nobody at home is saying, I don't like that emotionalism. And say, man, I wish I was down there trying to get that SUV. I'd jump up and down too. But you do it in here, in this kind of setting, and you're emotional, you're off the deep end. You had, as Brother Falwell said, you had too much pizza. Can you say, man, you ate too much pizza? I've eaten a lot of pizza, and believe me, it makes me want to go take a nap. Don't make me want to jump up and down. Ruah means to mar by breaking. Now, we're using a little bit of humor to get our hearts open and be acceptable to this, but God doesn't want this to be something that's done occasionally when you feel a liver shiver. He wants you to give Him the glory that's due Him consistently. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Why did He reiterate that? Because that is the easiest thing to forget to do. Doug had some trouble last week that makes my trouble look like nothing. Was it last week or week before? Hauling the sand, the cart breaks, finally get the beautiful walkway and the dog digs it up. First he forgave the dog, said it had a face like an angel. Then he said he thought it came from south of heaven somewhere. Devil dog from you know where. And he still came here and sang the praises of God. And I'm so proud of him for still coming instead of saying, you know something, I'm going to go to bed, I'm going to take two aspirin or three, I'm going to cover my head up, and I ain't getting up till I have to do something else tomorrow. Satan is counting on people covering, and the dirt thing, I couldn't, and the trailer thing. And I said, my brother Doug, amen, we preach this thing, he's living it now. Job Jr., amen. to triumph. It means to shout for joy. Everybody say, to shout for joy. And of course, there's the word triumph. That's what this word triumph, ruah, in thy praise, praise, to hillel, which means to laud or sing a hymn. This was praise, triumphing in a praise that was sung to the Lord. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they triumphed in praise, because praise is the language of faith. Say it with me. Praise is the language of faith. Say it again. Praise is the language of faith. If faith is operational in your life and mine, we can't help but praise God. Amen. I kept telling my son, I said, son, it's an old car. It's a 91 Toyota. It's got 130,000 miles on it. It's got a tie rod in that's broke and a door that's jammed. You can climb in the other side the way you climbed out today and drive it to work. All you need is a tie rod in. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Praise God anyway. You're not hurt. You're not maimed. You didn't have to go to a hospital. You're not bleeding. Amen. It's going to be all right. It's not a bad day to be T-boned and walk away from it. The car is hurt. The car can be fixed. If it totaled it, it is only worth about $1,200. Of course, it's worth a lot to you when you don't have a car, but like him. Let me read from Joshua, from this word, ruah. Show it in battle. Joshua 6, 16 and 20. Just verse 16 and verse 20. You know the story of Jericho. I just want to read this narrative, just these two verses. I love the way the story of Jericho starts, because God brings them into the promised land and immediately they hit an obstacle. They came to the city that the spies without faith said, there are cities over there that are walled up to heaven. And they came to that very city with walls that no former opponent had ever been able to bridge those great walls, the walls of Jericho. Archaeologists, and I've read, found what they believed to be the ruins or the foundation stone for the walls of that city in the very location, close as they could get it, they found ruins. And they said, if this is indeed the walls of that city, that biblical city, they were so, the tallness, what they couldn't determine how tall they were, but they could determine the width. And they said you could run 6 chariots abreast on the top of that wall. So this is not something you can beat down, burn down, knock down. And if it's too high to scale it, then you've got a formidable city here. Everybody say a 6-lane highway. It's not quite that wide, but 6 chariots could sit side by side and run on the top of the wall. It was that thick. That is some kind of wall. I mean, it's like they built a wall, a wall, a wall, a wall, a wall, a wall, a wall. Amen. It wasn't some little concrete block wall that you could take something and knock over. This was huge, and they were totally secure behind it. And when they came up against that city, the first thing that the Lord said to Joshua was, see, and he's looking at this impregnable-looking wall. See, I have given you the city and all of its inhabitants. I have given you the victory. Past tense, done deal, it's yours. I'm going to give you the battle plan to take it, but as far as God is concerned, it's yours right now. Amen. When he asks you to praise him by faith before the fact, amen, it's based on something he wants you to see. He wants you to see by revelation that he's Almighty God. And no matter how bad the situation is in your eyes, he sees it differently. And he wants you to begin to see it through the eye of faith like he's looking at it. Can you say amen? And by the way, God don't need faith. He's Almighty. He's not anybody he has to believe. The only person he has to believe in is himself. The Bible said, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself and said, I will not lie unto David. Can you say amen? But if you're thinking that God did all this through his faith, and we can get that kind of faith and operate it, God don't have to have faith. He's God. He's a spirit. Who would he put the faith in? Faith has to be in something or someone. He's God. So when he says, see, I've given you the city, he said, it's a done deal on my part. There's no way you can fail to take it. Looking at the walls and saying, but how? Amen. The how is never the issue. The who is the issue. Who told them to go take it? Who said it's your city? Amen. God said it. If anybody else said it, I'd say how. But if he said it, all I have to say is who. If he said it. If he said it and his word is forever settled in heaven. And his word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And he watches over his word to perform it. And he used his word to create the entire universe. And I have his word on it. Then I need to see it differently. Can you say, man, see, I've given you the city. What was different? Nothing except God said it's yours. And I want you to see it as yours before it happens. Because I'm going to ask you to do something by faith for it to happen. I'm going to ask you to march around the city and let the ark go before you. But a time will come, I'm going to ask you to praise me from the bottom of your heart as if the walls had fallen and the victory was yours before it even happens. Amen. And if you don't see what I'm trying to show you right now, you won't do that. He wanted Joshua to come before those people and say, that city's ours. We're not trying to take it. We're not going to see what's going to happen. We're declaring this victory won. Hallelujah. God will take care of the rest. But a time will come we're going to have to ruah. Everybody say ruah. We're going to have to triumph in his what? In his praise. I said triumph. In, say it again. Triumph in his praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Remember the ear-piercing sound. Remember that. Remember that. Praise God. Listen to verse 16. And it came to pass at the seventh time. 6 days you mark around once, but on the seventh you mark around seven times. And on the seventh time, the priest blew with the trumpets. And Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord will give you the city. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. I hear people all the time really fostering doubt and fear. And here's what they say. I'm not going to be a hypocrite and I'm not going to be a liar. And until there's, when I'm feeling bad, I am not going to praise. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be authentic. What you're saying is I'm going to stay in that prison. I'm not going to pray and sing praises. I'm not going to shout and see no walls fall. I'm going to stay behind these bars because I will not shout because God has given me a promise. I'm going to wait until I see something happen and feel better. And when I feel like it, then I'm going to be authentic and real. No, authentic Christians don't wait to see to shout. Amen? We shout because God said it's yours. Amen? I'm shouting over some things tonight that I haven't seen with my natural eye yet. But God has said it's mine. And I'm going to shout because the Lord has given me the city. The city may not know it yet. And they didn't know it inside those walls. But God said it. Can you say amen? The Bible spoke in the book of Hebrews of those who obtained promises. Through faith, obtained. Everybody say through faith, obtained promises. Promises are not just there to lift us up and let us fall. They're there because God purposes good in our life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So listen to this. Look at verse 20 now. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. And the people shouted with a great shout. I looked that up in the Hebrew. It said to give an ear-piercing sound. Same thing that we talked about in triumph and in his praise. Can you say amen? The wall fell down flat. Now, do you actually think that anyone could hit such a high note in praise that it could shatter a wall that you can run six chariots on? No, God's Spirit. This is not like the champagne glass that's being shattered by a mezzo soprano. This was the Spirit of God responding to their faith. And God promised them the city. They purposed to obey God to get it. Can you say amen? They accepted the fact that it was theirs. And they didn't know what God was going to do. He didn't say shout and them walls are going to fall. He just said shout. Give God praise. The city is yours. How He does it, when He does it, all of that stuff is not your department. All you have to do is rise up and muster up enough faith, amen, to lift your voice and triumph in praise. He'll do the rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. This is the application of Ruah in battle. It is the triumphant cry of faith that both praises God and breaks the resistance of the enemy. It incorporates worship and faith, allowing God to demonstrate His glory and His power. I said it incorporates worship and faith. Amen? And it allows God to demonstrate His glory and power. That's why when they brought them back out of captivity, of course their mouth was filled with song. Amen. It was broken. But God is saying, you know something? Listen, that one great revivalist of old and chronicler of revivals down through the past said there has never, never in the history of ancient Israel up to the modern day church, there has never been a true revival that was not marked with joyous singing. Why? Because when God turns the captivity of Zion, then is our mouth filled with song and our tongues with praise and laughter. Can you say amen? Wow. So you can't just go to the Bible study and just study. You can't just pray and just leave it there. There's something else to be done. You seal your faith with praise. And I don't mean hallelujah. Can you say amen? Well, you see, I'm not very emotional. Yes, you are. When they cut you off in traffic, you get emotional. When somebody butts in front of you in JCPenney and you got something on sale and you've been waiting and they come, you've been waiting patiently, amen. You've been waiting through eight people to be checked out with a pile this high. Can you say amen? And now it's your turn and somebody just walks in and butts in front of you. Amen. But you don't get emotional because you're not emotional. No, you do. You say, hey, I was here. Well, you can ruah like that. You can say, hey, I got victory today. Hey, devil, you're not going to overcome me in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If I wrote you a check for $100,000 and you didn't get a little bit emotional, I'd take it back. Sean, I'd take it back. If I wrote you a check for $100,000, said, God told me to give you $100,000, you said, well, thank you, Jesus. Give me that. God told me to give it to you because she won't praise Him for it. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Shouting before the fact is hard. Sometimes in a worship service, I can see things that have been so long coming. I can see them happen. I can see a church being built. I can see my son getting saved. I can see people being delivered from sin. I can see the gospel going into nations. I can see someone picking up. I can see someone picking up our broadcast and sponsoring it just to get it out to mission stations. I can see that happening on the internet. I didn't say it was a God-given vision. It's just that my faith begins to expand to all of these possibilities in God. He sent His Word and healed them. Amen. We're not on the air trying to promote this little church. We're on the air trying to exalt our great God. Can you say amen? We ain't asking for no money. Hallelujah. God gave us the time and the broadcast so that we could preach with no other motive at all except to exalt Jesus Christ. That's why the name of the broadcast is Let's Talk About Jesus on Tuesday, and on Sunday, it's Sunday Morning Alive. Amen. And those people think there's 800 people here when all of you get to praising God and amening. Just wait till they come down all the way from North Florida. Say, where is that turned on church? Say, here we are. If you're looking for a crowd, we can't give you that. But if you're looking for people turned on to Jesus, come on in and let's rejoice and shout his praise. Hallelujah. 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 Let me read this real quick from Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Hello? Hello? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgments written. This honor have all his saints. You have the honor of exalting God in the presence of his enemies and your enemies and seeing God bring glorious victory to your life. This honor has all his saints. Not just a David thing or an Abraham thing or a Moses thing or an ancient Israel thing. This honor have all these things, saints. It's not just a Pentecostal thing. It's a Baptist thing and a Methodist thing and all those who truly love him. Wow. It's all about triumphing in praise, isn't it? With the high praises of God in your mouth. I'm not going to swallow it. Honey, I'm telling you, I don't need no 9mm. You get that close to me with something bad. Look at here, the sword of the Lord. It says the sword of the Lord and of Robert A. Venable on here. Praise God. Just like the sword of the Lord and Gideon. With the high praises. They didn't go to battle with just swords. They went to battle with ruah praise. Can you say amen? High praises of God in your mouth. It said that everybody can defeat you in battle. Amen. Listen, there's a spiritual battlefield out there, and the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Amen. But you don't just use the Word in battle. Amen. There is a praise. Praise is the language of faith. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Amen. You mix faith with the Word. They had the gospel preached unto them, Hebrews said, but they didn't. It did not profit them not being mixed with faith. Faith in them that heard it. It's not enough to know what the Bible says. A day you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to wield the sword of the Spirit. And you're going to have to shout the high praises of God. And the day you do, everything that's written in the Word is going to be manifest in your behalf. Can you say that? Woo! Bible won't be a fairy tale story of ancient days gone by. Hallelujah. Comes a time you're going to have to rise above your emotions. Get your sights above your circumstances. And don't just see how big the problem is, the walls. See how great your God is. And exalt Him. And extol Him that rideth upon the waves of the flood. Let God arise, and what happens? His enemies will be scattered. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. And verse 8 says, to do what? To bind kings with chains. Are you listening to me? To bind kings with chains. Say it, to bind kings with chains. And their nobles with fetters of iron. I'm telling you, down in the netherworld, there is a hierarchy of princes of darkness and rulers of the wickedness and darkness of this world. Can you say amen? And the missing element is not our cry for help. It's our praise after we pray. After you pray, you need to get up and say, God is God now. God is on the throne. God is in control. He that's within us is greater than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, how I praise the mighty, matchless name of the Lord. What happens down in the netherworld? Kings and nobles, high-ranking forces are bound with fetters of iron. Can you say amen? It's not enough to just know the Scripture. You've got to act on the Word. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, always making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sing His praises. Sing it upon your bed. When you wake up, try not to wake up your spouse if he's got to get up. Like I was on day shift for 2 weeks, got up at 2:30 in the morning. I said, this ain't day shift. They said, Rev, you're on day shift next week. Get up at 2:30 in the morning so I can clock in at 4. That is not day shift. Can you say amen? Nobody's up at 2:30. Amen? Hardly. That's an awful time to get up. Wow. But sing His praises. It's saying sing His praises. To bind kings with chains and their nobles with fetters. One scholar of Scripture writes of this verse, and I quote, this verse addresses the activity of the righteous in two areas, worship and spiritual warfare. See, we usually don't equate spiritual warfare with our worship. About the only thing we know about spiritual warfare, I need it back, brother, thank you very much, is this. We know about the sword of the Spirit. We know about the shield of faith. We don't know about what is activating all of this, what is ratifying all of this. With the two-edged sword in your hand. Everybody say the Word of God. When Jesus comes, what's out of His mouth? What does He conquer with? Out of His mouth went a two-edged sword in the book of Revelation. What is the two-edged sword? For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We got the Word of God. Well, what is the missing element to activating all of these promises and purposes of God and victories He's promised? Ruah! What happens when we get in a mess and we can see no way out? We just don't shout during those times. And walls don't come down. And those demon forces that are coming against us are not bound with fetters of iron. But we're learning, aren't we? This morning while I was praising God, I could see my son getting delivered. He was getting hit by a car, but it made him stop and think he might not have, now that it's behind him, he was thinking, I might not have walked away from that. He got the front of my car. A millisecond different, he would have hit me straight in the driver's side. Amen. But God stepped in. I was trying to tell him, God stepped in for you, son. Amen. You need to be ready. You need to be right. Can you say, you can't claim tomorrow, but you can be ready no matter what tomorrow brings. And you know, this is an opportunity for him to stop and think. Amen. But I could see my son playing. Amen. He just bought a new PV amplifier. I could see him playing the high praises of God on that thing. Praise God. I could see my wife and I singing, amen, that song Daniel that we used to sing and harmonize on. Praise God. Hallelujah. I could see my grandchildren seeing their daddy saved and them coming in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I can see things while I'm praising God like that because God is exalted above my circumstances. God is exalted above my enemies. God is exalted above my weak flesh. God is exalted. God is exalted. And in His praise I triumph. We don't equate worship and spiritual warfare. That's why the choir sings and the people clap. The people must be involved. I love music that brings everyone into worship. You may not do what I do, and certainly maybe you shouldn't, unless you're in good health. But I'm telling you right now, you need to do something. In my early Pentecostal days, there was a man, and I could tell when the Spirit came on. You couldn't tell. He was a very reserved man. But his foot went crazy when the Spirit of God came on. I tried to pat to illustrate his foot, and I can only do that. That is my very best. Amen. That old foot just won't go no faster than that. Amen. But when the Holy Ghost come on him, it was that one foot would just. And I thought, boy, the Holy Ghost is coming on him. I see that foot. Sometimes the Holy Ghost would come on people. I remember a lady that came. She had a bad background. She was in some hardcore drug addiction. Amen. I'm telling you, there's nobody can sing like a soul set free. Nobody can appreciate it like a soul set free. She was in such heavy duty addiction, and it was destroying her life and children and family. She came to a little church out in the country in Plant City, my first pastor, and she got saved. She got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember the night when she got so filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, her foot started the same thing. It started just jerking like that. And the Spirit of God was on her, you know. And so she was trying to get to her car. And everybody left the church. We stayed there to make sure she got home safely. Everybody was going home about 10:30 at night, had a long service rejoicing. She got a double portion blessing, and she was trying to get to her car. She's going like that. And I said, do you need help, ma'am? My wife is in the car. And I said, do you need help? And she said, I think I can make it. And I thought, well, you need some help. I'm sorry, it wasn't that foot either. It was accelerator foot. Amen. She was going to her car. And I thought, you know, she shouldn't drive. You know, friends don't let friends drive drunk. Can you say amen? So I thought, you get in a good Pentecostal service, you may need a designated driver. Sits outside the church. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I remember her foot going like that, and I remember telling Pam, we got to help this lady. I said, ma'am, you think you're... She said, I'll be fine. And I said, well, let me help you to the car. I said, I've seen the Holy Ghost get on people. I've seen some strange things. She said, well, it's my foot, Brother Venable. It's my foot. She said, but it's okay. It's okay. It's worth it. It's worth it. I said, okay. All right. She said, I'm free. And then the other foot started. And I thought, dear Lord, this woman can't get home. Amen. She sat down in the front seat of her car. I said, how are you going to drive that thing? She said, well, it'll quit in a minute, won't it? I said, I have no idea. Don't ask me. I didn't do this to you. I don't know what's going on here. But that foot was just going like that. She was trembling, got stammering lips, and she said, I think I can make it. I said, I don't think so. I said, man, Just put your bar. She had one of the bars, you know. I said, put your bar on. She put her bar on. And we helped her to the back seat of our car, put her in. Amen. I heard back there. Back in the floorboard. She was just testifying, rejoicing in what God had done for her. To the world, it seemed so foolish, so outlandish, so crazy. Amen. But we had praised God that night. We had worshiped the King of Glory. We spent the whole afterglow praising God for setting that woman free. Spirit of God was manifest upon her. Amen. She went home. Amen. And she said, Brother Venable, she said, I laid there all night long with my foot shaking like that, praising God another time on her bed, singing praises unto God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What is all of this about? Amen. You don't have to do that, and you probably shouldn't if you had to have a ride. But listen to me. I'm telling you, God manifests himself. And this is human reaction to spiritual reality. This is not some emotional thing that someone has conditioned people to. When it happens, if it don't happen, it don't happen. But if it does, it does. Our faith is not in the happening. Our faith is in the God who through his word has given us a promise and given us his solemn word on it. And he wants us to react to that in faith by shouting his praise in the midst of a problem. So that what? So that that wall can fall down and he can glorify his name and give us the victory. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. This verse addresses the activity of the righteous in two areas, worship and spiritual warfare. Our desire to praise God must be accompanied by the desire to aggressively oppose Satan's kingdom and all evil. The spirits of darkness are not concerned about the best efforts of Christians to resist and oppose them until the weapons of our warfare are no longer carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This kind of praise is part of effective spiritual warfare. And there's a lot of people who just say, oh, I'm going there. Oh, but I know how to resist the devil. No, you don't. Till you know something about the high praises of God, it don't matter about the two-edged sword in your hand. Because you're trying to wield that in your strength. And that two-edged sword has to be sustained by the Spirit of God. Amen. Can you say amen? that was not afraid of you quoting Scripture. He's afraid of the God who backs it up. Somebody give God praise in this room tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God does back it up. Then terror strikes the mightiest of Satan's warriors. Kings in that world are bound, and nobles. You argue not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Can you say amen? How many times do prayer meetings turn into simply just crying out and never stopping and saying, okay, now we have put it in God's hands. Let's give Him the praise. It should end, it should begin and end like these services, bookend by praise. You started with praise, you ended with praise. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise and worship, worship and warfare really, really go together. Let me read this and we'll quit tonight and we'll do something else later. Maybe just one more scripture. Psalm 47 in verse 1 through verse 9. Listen to this. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Clap your hands, O ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Ruah, say it. That's the Hebrew word. You can hear it, can't you? You know what? If the Marines were here tonight, and we said something they really liked and fired them up, you know what they would say out there? Even the United States Army? They'd say, hoorah! Something in the spirit rises up and courage comes. And they'd say, hoorah! Amen? I could say that in a group of Marines and every one of them would respond just like that. You say ruah in church and everybody says, say what? I'm not saying that we should all be, you know, Hebrew literate to where we understand these phrases. But if I ask everybody to praise God no matter how they feel because Jesus is in the room and God deserves the glory no matter what we're facing, and if we'll do that and extol Him, amen, and ascribe unto Him integrity and authority over the situation and take Him at His word and give Him praise before the fact so that it releases Him to move because we're actually acting on our faith instead of our feelings. See, I've given you the city, required a man to get alongside of God's thinking and God's eyes, looking through God's eyes and saying, God promised it. I don't know how He's going to do it. He didn't say how He's going to do it. He'll give me instructions as I go along. But right now, I'm going to accept that this city is ours. It is ours right now. I accept it in my heart. And what happens when you accept that in your heart? You begin to praise and worship God for victory. And victory comes. Are you learning anything at all in here tonight? Listen to this. This just clarifies it all over again because this word is used. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout it. Oh, by the way, while we're right here on this verse, we used to sing that song. Remember it at the old Holy Church of God? Clap your hands, oh, you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And we went on and on. It got faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster because we couldn't hardly say it. And what you didn't know is we pulled that song out, particularly when there was a whole lot of people with, as Jimmy Swaggart used to say, a face so long that they could eat oats out of a 2-inch pipe, like a horse, your face is, you know how they eat it out of a bucket. Anyway, that's a long face. Can you say amen? That's a long face. I didn't say that. Jimmy Swaggart did. So it's corny. It's his corny, not my corny. It's not my bad. Can you say amen? It's his bad. Amen? And you know what we would do? I'd say, let's sing that song. Amen. Everybody needs a lift. Well, all I was doing is giving people an emotional lift. We didn't understand ruah. It just helped our emotions for a little while. And after you get that emotional high over, guess what? You have to go back and live with that man or that woman that's giving you such a fit or those kids that are going ape. Can you say amen? Going crazy is what I mean. You know what I mean. Amen. Don't think the other stuff. I didn't mean that. I knew you were thinking it, but that's not what I meant. Can you say amen? They go crazy. amen, all these things that are going crazy. You've got to go back and face that. Well, God wants there to be a faith that is manifest with the high praises of God. Satan will manipulate events and circumstances and people against you. Amen. But kings, those high-ranking ones out in that netherworld, they begin to be bound up as we praise God for who He is. And we praise Him for His covenant love. Hallelujah. Oh, clap your hands. So we would sing that song. And guess what? If you participated in singing it all, after a while, clap your hands. Oh, you people, shout unto God. And it got people kind of loosened up. It was one of those break or loose songs. But guess what? We had to keep pulling that. We sung it often, didn't we? Because between Sundays, we fell right back into that because we didn't understand what the high praises of God in our mouth meant in terms of spiritual warfare. So we had an emotional lift for a moment. I say, you know, if your faith is drooping, you need a faith lift. Well, we gave you a little faith lift, but it was more from the emotional driven. We want you to know something from the Word of God. Listen, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. That doesn't mean He's to be dreaded, and that's it. It means He's mighty in battle. When He let God arise, what happens? Let God arise, what happens? And His enemies be scattered. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He's a great King over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us. Why? Because you shout unto God with what? The voice of triumph. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. By the way, He's coming back the same way. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of a trumpet, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Woo! So if you've got a problem with ear-piercing sounds and shouting, heaven may not be the place for you. But I would get earplugs and go anyway. Can you say amen? Verse 6 says, sing praises unto God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Is it coming through? This is not just a little three songs offering. Sermonette for Christianettes who live in spiritual bassinets who go home. Can you say amen? This is victory. This is so God can be God. He is God, but so He can show Himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Can you say amen? Whoso offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation aright, I'll show him the salvation of my God. So at the appropriate time, don't ever hold back. Can you say amen? Don't ever hold back. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Can I read you one more illustration? Very quickly. 2 Chronicles 13:13 through verse 18. This word for shout here is ruah again. Same word. Ruah. Ruah. Listen to it. If you think I'm just getting emotional when I go, woo, you're wrong. Faith rises up. My wife has decided, and I think it's the influence of Sister Ruth over the years. She's decided in the morning, coffee is not her thing anymore. She has to have a spot of tea. And so I put on the coffee pot for me, and I put on the teapot for her. And the teapot starts building with steam. How do you know when it's boiling? You can't see it in there. Well, it's because, amen, it's got that little thingy on the front that forms when the steam really starts coming out. You get the shh first, but after a while it goes into a shrill whistle. Amen. And sometimes that's how I get Pamela up. I put on the teapot, And I know when it starts whistling like that, she's going to think of tea and English. Oh, yes, toast is not enough anymore. Now it's crumpets, English muffins. Can you say, man? So she has her tea. And by the way, she's got a room where she goes and sits with the Lord and sips her tea and eats her English muffin. And she's got it all fixed up. It's so dainty. You've seen that little room. It's just a little room, but it's her little tea room where she has a little tea party with Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's fine with me. But she's drinking. But when that begins to build inside, that shrill sound begins to come out. Why? Because something's happening on the inside. Amen. See, these nations of the world thought all that was emotionalism. They thought David was a madman. They thought he was crazy. His wife was ashamed of him. Can you say amen? Because they don't understand. Amen. When God wells up, or joy wells up on the inside and is expressed through the mouth, via the mouth in praise. You're hard-pressed to find ruah in most churches. Amen. Because we suppress that as emotionalism. And there will be some people just get emotional. But the people who keep suppressing this would have never seen a wall fall down, because you had to shout this shout of praise to see it come down. God's promise wasn't enough. Standing on the word wasn't enough. Saying the word, confessing it, praying, none of it was enough until they shouted this shout. Midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and what? Sang praise. When did the prison prop open? While they stood on the word and said, I command you. No, while they were praising God, they were saying, you're God of my circumstance. You're God of the universe. You're God of the whole earth. Our trust is in you. We're going to give you glory and honor right here and right now in these fetters with these doors locked. You want your prison house of fear and worry to come and pop open? Then I challenge you. When we get an opportunity to praise God, praise Him. Don't praise Him like I do or somebody else. Just praise Him in your heart. I challenge you tomorrow, sometime tomorrow, pick a time. Go out back and holler. Can you say amen? Do something to let the enemy know that you absolutely take God at His word, and you will not accept defeat. With the high praises of God in your mouth and a sword in your hand, kings are going to be bound up by little old you and little old me because of our big old God. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise tonight. Will you stand up? We're not going to read the rest of this.